yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stop. The way you love and the way you reach out to people is very, very important, that the Bible commands us to know the length, the breadth, the depths, and the height of the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge. Amen. And love always wins. Love always wins. You can never go wrong in loving. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. I want us to begin a series that I believe will help you, because as I look around, travel the nations, and welcome to all of you on Facebook and streaming. It's good to be with you today, all our viewers on Facebook and streaming. God bless you. Thank you for connecting with this ministry. We want to talk about knowing God, because as I study scripture and as I look at the men and women of old, and when I look at great people of the Azusa revival and of the healing revival, of the faith move, and different great servants of God that has walked the face of the earth, I realize that there is something they knew about God that possibly a lot of us don't have or know. And when I look at the situation in our country today, the economic situation, the hardship, and not only in Ghana, but across Africa and the nations of the world, I've come to one conclusion, that like never before, you and I need to have a personal revelation and experience of God like never before. Your ability to survive, and your longevity is determined by your personal revelation and experience of Elohim. Because if you don't have a personal revelation and experience of Him in trying times and in difficult times, you may compromise and give in, and you possibly may become a victim and not a victor. You can be a casualty and not a survivor. But if you have knowledge of Him, and you know Him, your attitude, even in trying times, will be different. Your attitude in difficult times will be different. And it doesn't matter what comes your way. And it doesn't matter what the enemy plots against you. It doesn't matter who lifts up their head against you. You can smile in the face of the storm and adversity. Why? Because you know in whom you have believed. Somebody put your hands together and give Him some praise. Oh, you can do better than that this morning. You can know God in different aspects, and we will come to the different names of God to help you have knowledge and revelation of God based on the different aspects of God, we cannot comprehend Him all, but we can begin somewhere, because you can know Him as your provider and not know Him as your healer. You can know Him as a healer, but if you don't know Him as a provider, you will struggle with provision in life, and you always struggle with money or finances. The reason why a lot of people don't do what is required of them and don't give like it's required and don't tithe, don't honor commitments to the house and the things of God, it's not because they can't do it or they don't have it. It's because they're afraid. Tell somebody, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When you know Him, you won't be afraid no matter what. You will not be afraid of what comes tomorrow, because you're a child of God. You won't be afraid of famine. You will not be afraid that if you do what is required, you may end up in trouble. So you have to hold on to the little you have, hide it, keep it, save it, sit on it, and disobey God. Because you are holding on because you never know tomorrow. A child of God must never worry about tomorrow because your life is in his hands. Tell two people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your life is in his hands. Don't be afraid. Tell two people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your life is in his hands. Amen. Genesis 4:1.
And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
You see, this knew here, and Adam knew. He's not talking about sense knowledge. This is revelatory and experiential knowledge. Amen? He had knowledge beyond sense knowledge. He experienced her. There was an intercourse. This was something deep and heavy that goes beyond just flesh and blood. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Turn to somebody and say, do you know God? Because you see, if you know God, you will be fruitful and you will multiply no matter what. The reason why we are not fruitful and we are in multiplying is because we don't know him. We know him by sense knowledge. We know him by what the Bible says about him. But we haven't encountered him. I want to challenge you to have an experiential knowledge of God. To have a revelatory knowledge of God. To have a knowing of God that irrespective of what comes your way and whom comes against you, you can stand because you know in whom you have believed. I pray for that revelation to come to you today. I pray that the veil will be lifted. And I pray that that light, somebody say, let there be light. Say, I turn on the light. In the name of Jesus, have light. Give somebody a high five and say, have light. Have illumination and revelation about God. Do you know your God this morning? Do you know your God? Because you see, if you know God, if you know him to the extent to which you should know him, your attitude about a lot of things will change. The way we get offended, the way we treat one another, the way we respond to crisis. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, Papa, how are you? And I said, wonderful. And then he called me again, Papa, how are you? And I said, wonderful. He called me yesterday and said, Papa, how are you? And I said, wonderful. And he said, what is this new revelation about wonderful all the time? And then he said, but how do I know how you are truly feeling if every time you say you are wonderful? And I said, because I'm wonderful. And if I keep saying I'm wonderful, I'll be wonderful. Yeah. How many of you want to be wonderful? Then keep saying wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And you become wonderful. Amen? You see, the Bible said God called things which be not as though they were. So whatever you want to be, start calling it. When God wanted Abraham to be the father of many nations, he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, the father of many nations. Same thing with the wife. Same thing with the wife, Sarah, the mother of many nations. And they became what God kept calling them eventually. How are you? Turn to somebody and ask them, how are you? And I find out that when I started telling people I'm wonderful, when they asked me, how are you? And I said, I'm wonderful. A lot of people are having problem with it. Because they are not used to somebody saying, I'm wonderful.
especially with all that is going on around us. And sometimes people will call me because they've heard something and they want to see my reactions. And I don't react because God does not react. So they say, Papa, what's going on? And I said, everything is fine. How are you doing, Papa? Wonderful. They can handle it. Give it a try and see. You see people begin to look at you some way when you tell them, I'm beautiful. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm better. For confession bring procession. Thou art justified by thy words, and thou art condemned by thy words. So you have to take heed to what you say. Tell somebody, take heed to what you say. Take heed. Take heed. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And somebody said to me the other day, Papa, you are not being realistic. I don't have to be realistic. I have to be scriptural. I'm being scriptural. And he said, but you are not speaking the truth. Because why should I say I'm strong when I am weak? The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. Come on, somebody. Is anybody hearing me? I'm going to say what the Bible says, not what I feel. Are you hearing me, somebody? And as I keep saying what the word says, I'm creating what the word says. And as I keep saying it, what I say comes to pass. And it overrides what I'm feeling. Are you hearing me, somebody? Tell somebody what you are feeling is not real. I was telling somebody this morning that fear is a false reality that appears to be true. Tell somebody, a lot of the things you fear is not true. Yeah, tell somebody, a lot of the things you fear is not true. But the enemy is projecting it and compelling you to accept what you fear. He wants you to believe that what he's showing you is going to happen. It's like you dream and you see the cemetery, mortuary, people who have died and gone ahead. You see them in your dreams. The enemy is making a suggestion. He's selling something to you. He's telling you, it's time for you to change location. He's telling you, you don't belong to the living. You belong to the departed souls. And you need to stand on scripture and say, not so, not so. It's not yet time. Somebody say, it's not yet my time. Come on, somebody say, it's not yet my time. It's not yet my time. Say, I dismiss it in the name of Jesus. Say, that is not for me. And it doesn't matter how many times he shows you the same thing, you keep saying, wrong address, wrong address. Listen, somebody brings a package to your house with a wrong name and the wrong address. What do you do? And the person comes again. What do you do? The person comes again. Keeps coming again. What do? You keep rejecting it. Why? Because that is not your name. It's not your address. Don't accept some things. Don't coexist with something. Don't say, you know something. You know, I was talking to a lady the other day and she said, Papa, you don't know my story. And I said, what is your story? He said, my story is that, as for me, relationships don't work. And I said, as long as you bought that package, it's a package. Satan sells. Satan is a sales master. He sells things. And as long as you bought it and accepted it, your relationships won't work. When you begin to renew your mind, are you hearing me?
I saw a young lady the other day, had a friend, things were really moving, then suddenly the guy changed his mind. And she came to me crying, and I said, stop the tears, don't give Satan the opportunity to feel good about this. Don't give him that pleasure. And she said, what should I do? I said, tell the guy that it is his loss. And I said, number two, he doesn't deserve you. I said, any man that leaves you is a shegelele. Simple. He doesn't deserve you. By the time I finished talking to her, she was laughing. The other day, she told me that there's this guy who has started talking to her. And I said, there will be more talking to you. You will attract more when you feel good about yourself and you get busy in the house of God. The Bible said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. So stop crying, stop being depressed, and get busy for God. Start doing something with your life in the church. Amen? Do something. Every member of this church must belong to a cell. You must belong to a cell. If you don't belong to a cell, you are living in disobedience. And it's a sin of itself. And I'll show you why later. You got to belong. I was asking somebody today, I said, I haven't seen Lincoln Donkor's wife for a long time. Have you seen her? Okay, you have seen her, I haven't seen her. But the only way we can take care of one another is through the cells. If you belong to a cell, then we are connected to one another. It's very easy for us to know what's going on with you. But in the size of a church like this, if you don't belong to a cell, it's very dangerous, because when you are traveling, nobody knows where you are going. When something happens to you, nobody knows. And you can easily be hurt. One thing too, I want to say to every sister, if you're a sister, give me a wave offering. Sisters, wave offering. Look at me. Be careful of friends you make on Facebook. Facebook. Dating people you haven't seen before through Facebook. Be careful. Are you hearing me? Be very, very careful of that Facebook relationships thing going on. They are using it to destroy a lot of people. You remember the sister who used to sit here? You remember her? It was a Facebook situation. That's all I'll say. I can't go into details. Facebook. So be careful of people. You meet them on Facebook. You start, dating, chatting, emotional relationship and affections and things through Facebook. Be careful. It looks like somebody is a suspect the way you are quiet. I didn't mention your name. You cannot say I mentioned your name. Hallelujah. Come with me to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11, 32.
And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt, shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
That is the key. Do you know your God? Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, know your God, know your God. Come on, somebody say, know him, know him, know him, know him. That is the only key for stability. That is the only key for being strong and doing exploit in difficult and trying times in the history of mankind and humanity. You must know him. You have to know him. If you don't know him, you are doomed. I'm just telling you. It's good and it's great to be in church, but you got to know him. You got to know him. He's the only way out. He's the only way out to stand your grounds. That's why Joseph was cast into the pit and he survived. He survived because Joseph knew something his siblings didn't know. So they threw him into the pit and he survived. Give somebody a high five and say, you are a survivor. You are a survivor. Yes, yes, you are. You are a survivor. Tell somebody, you will survive this too. You will survive this too. This one too, you will survive it. Tell somebody, I see you coming out of the pit. I see you coming out. You are coming out. Come out. I said, I see you coming out. Somebody is coming out of an emotional pit, a marital pit, a financial pit. You are coming out of that pit. You are coming out of that situation. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Those who know their God will be strong. Strong, not weak, not vulnerable, not discouraged, not perplexed, not frustrated, not confused, not having double mind or being double-minded, but strong, doing exploit. Tell somebody, I see you doing exploit. I see you doing exploit. Yeah. You will do exploit even in these difficult times and trying times of your life. You will do exploit. You know, I was telling somebody that a lot of people in this life want to be big. And everybody can be big, but not everybody can be great. There are people I have trained who are big and bigger in a lot of ways than me, but I'm greater than them. Because you see, greatness is a result. One of the products and one of the signs of greatness is longevity and personal integrity and character. I've walked away from so many things because I'm not for sale. I've walked away from things. I've been misrepresented about many things to give up my conviction. But I've stood my ground and refused to give up my conviction. There are people. Everybody can be great. You can go and steal and do some big things and be big. You can take a shortcut and be big, but you can't take a shortcut and be great. Somebody like Nelson Mandela, he didn't build a lot of buildings and didn't have 2-3 private jets like others. There are people who were bigger than Nelson Mandela, but not great like Nelson Mandela. Dead but still great. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you hearing me, somebody? That is the difference between me and a lot of other preachers. You can be big, and that's why I don't envy and jealous anybody. Because anybody can be big. But when it comes to greatness, you must be tested and you must be tried. When Potiphar's wife said to Joseph, I can make you big if you sleep with me. I can see Joseph saying, I know the one who makes big and great. I know. I know him. And I'd rather go to prison and be nothing for today and be greater tomorrow. Are you hearing me, somebody? And Joseph became greater than Potiphar. And the reason why people compromise and sell their soul for money, for recognition, for relevance, for acceptance. The reason why some of you sit in a church and you might be more committed to your political party than your God and your church is because you don't know your God. If you know him, ladies and gentlemen, you will not compromise your conviction. I'm telling you. I was telling somebody the other day working at the place and there are a lot of issues. And I tell the person, why don't you walk? Leave the job. He said, and go and do what? And I said, you are willing to stay there and compromise your conviction? And I said, you don't believe that God can give you a better job than this job? He said, well, I believe, but I don't know. And I said, then stay there. And let the devil keep vexing your soul. But if you know him, there are some things you won't accommodate it. Somebody say, I hear you. I see you being strong. I see you doing exploits after today. Say, I hear you. Job chapter 19, verse 25.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
I what?
I know that my Redeemer liveth.
How can a man who had lost all his fortunes and 10 children in a day have the audacity to say, I know that my Redeemer what lives? Do you know him as a Redeemer? This is what makes the difference between the boys and the men. See, I hear you. I know that my Redeemer lives. After losing everything, all his fortunes and treasures and wealth, and 10 kids in a day, he had the audacity. When the wife says, curse God and die, he said, girl, you don't get it. If you know what I know that I'm getting back double of everything that I've lost. I can see double of everything that I've lost. This God I serve has the capability to give me twice as much as I have before. Do you know that your God has the capability to return your stolen goods, to give you more than you've ever had before? To restore you. You know, let me encourage somebody. I sat down the other day and I was taking stock of things. And I realized how I've been betrayed in life. And a lot of bad things have happened to me. I don't talk about everything. I try not to lament about some things. And how God delivered some people into my hands and I could just finish them and they would never become adversaries today like some of them have become. I could have finished them long time ago because God delivered them into my hands and I decided to show them mercy. And when I showed them mercy, they turned around and they stabbed me and they become adversaries. And I said to myself that, why didn't I finish them when God delivered them into my hands? And I realized that it is not in me to kill. It's not in me to destroy. It's not in me. And I have to trust God to deal with it. And as I sat there and I started reflecting, I came to the conclusion that, you know something, everything that has happened to me was good. It's good because it's made me wiser. And one thing that gives me hope is this, that my future will be better than my past. Can I announce to somebody, irrespective of your age, where you are in life, and what you've been through, let me tell you something. Patience and faith always wins. And your future will be better than your past. Is there anybody I'm prophesying to? Am I prophesying to anybody here? Am I speaking to any believer here? That your future will be better than your past. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God some praise in the house. You know, I'm 62 and I was just looking at myself and the enemy was whispering to me that, Charlie, you are 62. What is it that you're going to do that you haven't yet done? And I said, wait and see. And I'm beginning to see clear. I'm seeing things clearer than ever before. Johnny, I'm seeing things clearer than ever before. Things that I wasn't seeing before, God is making it clearer and clearer. For the path of the righteous shineth brighter and brighter and brighter to a perfect day. That is your life. I said, that is your life. your life is going to get better and better and better and better to a perfect day. If you believe it, put your hands together and shout yes. Hear me. God has not planned any evil for you. Do you hear what I said? If there is any evil plan against your life, it's not from God. And let it be rejected in the name of Jesus. We dismiss any evil plan against your life in the name of Jesus. Any evil plan against this house, any evil plan against this nation and the borders of Ghana and the citizens of Ghana, by the judicial hand of the Lord, let it be dismissed in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and say, dismiss, dismiss. We dismiss it. We dismiss it. We dismiss any evil plan. We dismiss any evil against this house, against this nation, the citizens of Ghana. Let the evil be dismissed and overturned in the name of Jesus. Say yes. I was just told about an accident that took place and 50 people were burned. You heard about it? In Ghana. Why? Why? And I was told that the driver was sleeping and the passengers were telling the driver, "You are sleeping. Stop. Park the car. Stop. Park the car and sleep. Don't be driving." And he won't listen. He kept on driving. You are in the car. The passenger is sleeping. The driver is sleeping. And he won't stop. Just get up and say, "Stop the car. Stop the car now. I'm coming now." You either stop this car and park and get some rest, or "I'm coming now. Stop the car now." You will never find yourself in that situation. And if you ever find yourself in any situation of imminent danger, you will do the right thing. I said you will do the right thing. You will not be foolish. You will not act foolishly. You will not allow anybody to take your life at ransom. You will act by the Spirit of God. You will be swift and you will escape it. If you believe you will escape, put your hands together, shout yes.
In the name of He who died and lived in the grave and arose, triumphant on the third day, we declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall